So at this time, we're going to take communion, and we invite you, wherever you are, to join us in this. In this medium, by recording, you can take the time to gather the cup and the bread and go ahead and take part in this with us. We wanted, my mother mentioned it last week, Pastor Debbie did, and so we want to just invite everybody to partake together with us as we take communion together. And I'm going to read through something that I presented to the church a number of months ago, and just so it may be a review for some of you, but just to recount and review what communion means to us, why we continue to take communion to this day. Communion is a standing ordinance in the Church of Christ. It was not just kept the first night that it was instituted and observed, but later, after the death and the resurrection of Christ, it was observed by the very first church at Jerusalem. And though there were disorders in the church at Corinth, they did not neglect communion itself, though they were disorderly in their practice of it. Justin Martyr gave a very detailed account of communion in the churches of his time, which was in the second century, and it has been continued in the churches of Christ ever since and to this day. Communion is to continue to the end of the world. It was one of those ordinances that cannot be removed but will remain, and is among those all things mentioned in Matthew 28:20, which Christ ordered his apostles to teach and for his followers to observe, promising to be with them to the end of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he comes. So I want to walk just a few additional points that we gather from Scripture about communion, why we do it, why we continue to do it to this day. We take communion to stimulate our heart's remembrance of the person and the work of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11:25. And this remembrance includes the use of tangible elements, the bread and the wine, or the, in our case, the juice, to stir our minds and our hearts. The physical action of eating and drinking reminds us that we spiritually ingest and depend upon Jesus and the saving benefits of his life, his death, and his resurrection. Just as food and drink are essential to sustain physical existence, so also the blessings and the benefits that come to us through the body and the blood of Christ are paramount to our spiritual flourishing. It is also a personal remembrance. We are to remember Jesus. The focus is not, in this case, on Abraham or Moses or Isaiah. The focus is no longer even on the Jewish Passover or the night of Christ's betrayal or anything else. The focus is Jesus. We do this in remembrance of him. In remembering, there is also confession. In partaking of communion, we declare that Christ gave his body and blood for me. He died for my sins. We confess that the bread and the cup symbolize the broken body and the blood of Jesus poured out for the sins of the whole world. And in this remembering, we proclaim the Lord's death until he come. This, then, is not merely an ordinance that looks to the past. It is an ordinance of hope that points us to the future. Matthew 26:29 says, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So Christ proclaimed and promised that the next communion that he will have with his disciples and with us will be when the Father's kingdom is established, which will be for all time, as it says in Revelation 22. This fruit of the vine, as it says, will once again be poured out as Jesus, the bridegroom, receives his bride, the church, saying on that day, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Revelation 19:7. And so, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We hope and pray that we are all invited to that marriage supper of the Lamb, and we know that with Christ in us and our faith in him, we are and will be. So at this time, I'll ask for assistance as we pass out the bread and the cups. Thank you. So join us now with your cup and the bread ready as we read 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26, the institution of the Lord's Supper. Paul told the Corinthians, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Let us pray over the bread and the body of Christ. Almighty God, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for your sacrifice, for the broken body, the body that was broken on our behalf, the sacrifice that for all time, once and done, and for the resurrection that came. We so thank you as we remember at this time your holy sacrifice, the broken body of the Lamb that did not stay broken, but was restored again in the power of God as we bless this bread together. And I'll ask you to pray over the cup so you can turn that on when you're ready. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." And Pastor Debbie, Mom, would you please pray over the cup?
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. We're so humble today on this Palm Sunday, Lord, by your death, your burial, and we're so thankful for your resurrection. And Lord, we know that the Father God was pleased with the sacrifice and that it was once and for all, and we're so thankful. And I pray, Lord God, as we partake of this remembrance today, that it strikes in our hearts, O God, the knowledge of the power of your blood, the power of your sacrifice for us living here today, for it is enough for all. And we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Holy Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
We give you praise and glory and honor.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. We're so happy to be able to offer this, if nothing more at this time. We're not able to all be together as we'd like to be, but at the same time, we're going to do our best not to forsake the assembly of the body of Christ. And so, as we may not all be permitted to be in this building at the same time, we are permitted to join together in spirit and in purpose in lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to thank my mom, Pastor Debbie, for last week bringing this together to have communion together, because just as we don't want to forsake the assembly, we don't want to forsake the ordinances of communion and the blessings of the Lord that flow through the remembrance, through the partaking, through the reflection on the person of Jesus and what he has done for all eternity for us, the confession of our hearts as we recognized that he died for our sins, and as we proclaim his coming again and look forward, and not only backwards, we can look backwards to understand the magnitude and the finality of what he did, and we can look forward to eternity with him. And we look forward to an eternity with one another, the body of Christ. And we pray that this week you be blessed and encouraged. Yes. Each day that the Lord be with you, that be his presence and spirit surround you, and that we each are able to look up to him in victory, knowing that he is on the throne, as always, in the small things and in the big things like what we're facing today. Our God reigns. Thank you.